Going after Zika, Big Sur burns. I'm Michael Toscano.
The number one thing is if you think you could have been exposed is to get tested.
That's Dr. Daria Gillespie with a warning in Zika hotspots. One hotspot, Miami, where a dozen cases popped up last week. Aerial and street spraying to kill the mosquitoes that carry Zika continues this weekend. Dan Simon's on scene for us.
They set up traps to gauge the effectiveness of the sprayings, and they had a very high kill rate. Trucks go on these streets and they'll sort of soak up all the excess water to prevent mosquitoes from laying their eggs.
The two-week-old wildfire churning through the ruggedly scenic coastal mountains north of California's Big Sur has grown to more than 84 square miles. An army of 5,500 firefighters establishing containment lines. Still, damage has been done.
As of this date, 57 homes have been destroyed and 11 outbuildings, and we haven't had any since, you know, the early beginnings of the fire.
That's Deb McLean. I'm Michael Toscano. Paying at the pump just got riskier thanks to Bluetooth technology. Crooks are stealing bank information at gas stations around the country.
In Dallas, police recently discovered five different skimming devices that utilize Bluetooth technology. A credit card skimming device was found in Virginia, and according to the Caroline County Sheriff's Office, a closer look revealed three other devices at the same gas station. Here's how they do it. Thieves hook a Bluetooth skimmer device to the gas pump, then sit nearby waiting to grab your personal information. And police say there is little you can do to stop it. Authorities suggest using cash or credit and debit cards inside the gas station or convenience store. I'm Bill Michaels.
Belgian Prime Minister Charles Michel says the attack against two female police officers in Charleroi today might have been terrorism. A man with a machete shouting Allahu Akbar injured the officers one seriously before being shot and killed. Baseball final score, Yankees 2, Indians 5. I'm Michael Toscano.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100 plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I like them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100 plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talk. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talk. ZipRecruiter.com/talk.
The following program is furnished by the Now Real Estate Network, LLC, and is responsible for its content.
And welcome into the new home for Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett, KLIF 570 AM. And we're just we're tickled to be here. RJ, Chase, all the guys over here, thanks so much. We got Pat operating the board today. Going to have a lot of fun. Going to tell you some information about the real estate market, what's going on in the North Texas market, what's happening in the DFW market, some things that are going on nationally, how it affects you. If you're a real estate investor, this is where you want to be every Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, because this is the one place you're going to be able to listen, learn, and earn. You might want to jot that down, because that's what Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett is all about. Listen, learn, and earn. It's going to be fun. We're going to go through a lot of things that have to do with real estate, top to bottom, some fun things. You know, this morning I was reading an article about, well, one of the most famous landmarks, or well, maybe I should say an infamous real estate landmark, and that's the Playboy Mansion out in L.A. Well, it sold, and it sold to a guy that runs a hedge fund. Now, the only reason that that was of any interest at all is the guy that runs the hedge fund is that's the fund that saved the Twinkie. They're the guys that came in and put the money in to keep Twinkie from going out of existence, and they bought the Playboy Mansion. So you'll hear some things like that. Most of the information that you're going to hear, you're going to be able to take to and put into your real estate investing business immediately. We're going to go through a lot of great stuff today. One of the things we're going to talk about is what's happening with the existing home sales market, because It is hopping, popping. Now, if you're investing already in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, North Texas, anywhere, if you're all over the state, you know this already because the market here is one of the best in the country. And what happens if you're an investor is it's hard to find properties. This is where due diligence really comes in. We have to be detectives when we're finding investment property today. It's not like it was 6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago when we were in the midst of the foreclosure crisis and deals were everywhere. Now, deals are hard to find. The profits are still there. You got to learn how to dig these out. One of the things that we talk about when we do our live events around the country is how you find deals. So let's get into a little bit from the existing home sales market and how it's what's happening with it around the country right now. So this came out of Washington last Friday. So boosted by a greater share of sales in the first time home buyer segment. And it's the first time home buyers have bumped up in nearly 4 years. The existing home sales maintained an upward trajectory in June and increased for the fourth consecutive month. And that's according to the National Association of Realtors. Only the Northeast saw a decline in closes in June, and sales to investors fell to the lowest they have been since July 2009. So we want to make sure that you're not part of that. You're out there getting properties for flipping. Today, existing home sales, which are completed transactions that include single-family homes, townhomes, condos, pretty much anything you can think of in the housing market, climbed 1.1%. And that's a seasonally adjusted number that's about 5.57 million down from what it was this time last year, but it's still up from where we have been since February of 2007. Now, there's a guy you're going to become very familiar with when you listen to Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett. His name is Lawrence Young. Now, who Larry is? Larry is the chief economist over the National Association of Realtors. This guy is plugged into the real estate market like few people that you will ever know. He says for an impressive four-month streak of sales gains through June, just capped off a solid first half of 2016 for the housing market, existing sales rose again last month as more traditional home buyers and fewer investors were able to close on a home despite many competitive areas with unrelenting supply and demand imbalances. And that's where we are in the Texas market. We have a huge imbalance in supply and demand. And if you're out there trying to find deals, I'm not telling you anything new. There is a significant amount of housing needed to come into the market that's just not there yet. And the new housing market has not been able to catch up yet. We'll talk about how that comes into play a little bit later on in the show. We're going to talk about how you find some deals. We're going to talk about with one of my students, a great friend of mine, Tom Solomon, is going to be in the studio with us today. We're going to tell you a little bit about his journey in the real estate investing world and how that applies to you. Now, these imbalances have been sustained by job growth as well as this year's drop in mortgage rates and is undoubtedly driving the appetite for home purchases. Now, here's what Lawrence Young cautions us about. He says, looking ahead, it's unclear if the current sales pace can further accelerate as higher record stock prices, near record low mortgage rates, and solid job gains faced off against a dearth of home availability for sale, the lofty home prices that keep going up. So median home prices, now this is across the country. This is not just in our market here. But median home prices for existing home sales in June was $247,700. That's almost 5% up from June of 2015. It is the 52nd consecutive month of year-over-year gains and surpasses the peak in May where we had a national median sales price of $238,900. Here's what that means for you. Prices are running. They're going to continue to run. This is one of the weird things. It's weirdly wonderful, by the way, about the real estate market is that it's one of the few areas that you'll ever see that you can have supply and demand out of balance. You can have more supply come into the marketplace and prices still continue to go up. Right now in the Dallas-Fort Worth, the North Texas area, we are such an imbalance in a lack of inventory. Price is going to keep going. If you've got a chance to buy a property and you're fussing about the price of it right now, go ahead and buy it now because you're going to be fussing more next month, the month after that. If you've got the opportunity to lock the deal down, lock it down. Prices are going to continue to run for a while. Is the election going to affect this? It is. Do we know in what area? We don't yet. We don't know if it's going to have a big pop, if it's going to drag the market down some. We don't know. We don't know how the effect it's going to have on the economy. We just know that it is going to affect the economy. We just don't know how yet, and we won't know. Even if you predicted who's going to win, we still don't know the reaction that industry is going to have on that. Right now, the total housing inventory at the end of June has dipped another 0.9% to 2.12 million existing homes available for sale, and that is 5.8% lower than it was just a year ago. Unsold inventory is at a 4.6-month supply at the current sales price. Here's what that means. When you hear the term, and the government throws this around a lot, real estate market throws it around a lot, the housing supply. And as this article says, there's a 4.6-month housing supply right now. That means if there's no more houses brought onto the marketplace and every single house that's currently in the marketplace sells, it'll take 4.6 months for that to clear out, for all the houses to be gone. And that's why you want to make sure that you're jumping on out there and getting a property locked down if you have that opportunity. When you have 6 months is the bar, if you will. That's par in the housing market. If you're below 6 months in the housing supply, right now we're at 4.6. If you're below 6 months, then it is a seller's market. Once you cross over 6 months, say if we were at 7.5 months in supply, then it becomes a buyer's market. You can negotiate pricing more. You can't do that in today's market. You got to bite the bullet. Know that you're going to come out on the other side and get back what you think you're overpaying for a property right now to flip. You're going to be able to pick it up on the backside if you're doing the properties correctly. And you're going to see that how this 4.6-month supply really is very favorably impactful for what we're doing in real estate investing. Through the first 6 months of the year, first-time home buyers represented an average of 31% of the buyers. Millennials are coming back into the marketplace. We're going to talk about them as boomerang buyers here pretty shortly. And they represented 30% in 2015. So that's up a little bit. There's a modest bump in June sales on these first-time home buyers, and it can be attributed to the fact that mortgage rates, again, are at or near all-time lows, and perhaps a hopeful indication that more affordable, lower-priced homes are beginning to make their way into the market. More and more homeowners have come out from, well, being upside down on their property in the foreclosure world. And so we're starting to see some more for sale by owners. You got to look at that if you're an investor. And we're starting to see just a little bit more inventory creep in. Now, the odds of closing on a home are higher right now for a first-time home buyer if they're living in metro areas like Dallas-Fort Worth, and particularly areas in the Midwest, in the South, in the Southwest. All cash buyers make up 22% of the transactions in June. If you're a real estate investor, there's few things that I can stress to you more than have your money put together before you go out and make an offer on a property. Right now, the differentiator between what you can do in the marketplace is not, hey, am I pre-approved? Hey, do I have a hard money lender? That's not what it is. If you've got the ability to have cash, which means that you have to have a proof of funds letter. If you've got that, then your offer has something that makes you stand out. You can offer possibly even a little bit under the asking price. I wouldn't go too crazy, because what you're going to find is that they'll walk away from that right now too. But cash is king. You've heard that for a long time. Certainly that's the case today. Cash is king. When you come out to one of our live events, make sure that you have a chance to jump over to realestatenowradio.com, realestatenowradio.com. You'll be able to hear replays of the shows, get transcripts, a lot of free information on there. We'll tell you when the next live events are coming up so that you can learn how you can put cash together and make these offers that stand out in the marketplace. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the boomerang buyers and how they are bouncing back for us. We're going to do that in about 2 minutes. So hang with us. We'll be right back with more Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett. Thanks for listening. Hey, I forgot him. Hi, it's Bill Barnett here. I want to tell you about the great folks out in Arlington, Texas with dfwproperties.net. That's dfwproperties.net. Check them out on the website. It is a great real estate organization. If you're looking to buy a property in the Metroplex, sell a property, you need professional real estate representation, dfwproperties.net, located right there at Globe Life Park in Arlington, where the Texas Rangers call home. Well, that's where DFW Properties is. It's where the Metroplex goes for home. Check them out, dfwproperties.net. And welcome back to Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett. It is a Saturday afternoon right here in North Texas. Thanks so much for being with us. 570 AM Cliff, news and information. The place that you want to be on Saturday afternoon where you can listen, learn, and earn about being a real estate investor in the North Texas market. Now, one of the things that's going to happen in the second half of the show today, you're going to meet a great friend of mine, Tom Solomon. Now, Tom is a real estate investor. He and I have been working together for years. He is in the Plano, Frisco area, so you're going to hear some local content, what's happening with somebody. We'll get into that after we do the bottom of the hour break, so make sure you are hanging around for the remainder of the show and get to meet Tom Solomon. Now, boomerang buyers are really coming back in the marketplace. You know, we've had 7 years of, well, this black mark of the foreclosure world, and it's now been removed from consumer credit for people that went through foreclosure. That's typical timeline, 7 years, that once a foreclosure hits your credit report, it's going to hang around. Now, one of the things you have to be conscious of and have to take action on is it's not going to fall off automatically. You're going to have to reach out to the credit bureaus. You may have to get an attorney to do this so that it is removed from your credit report, but it's only after 7 years can you do that. Now, here's the thing. In 2010, we're at the peak of the foreclosure market. Since then, we've had 1.9 million homeowners that have passed that seven-year mark. They've come back into the marketplace. That's a huge addition to our housing marketplace, and obviously a good chunk of those folks in the North Texas area. Additionally, by the end of 2020, 1.2 additional million homeowners who lost their homes between 2011 and 2013 will be eligible to come back into the market. Despite the potential for millions of homeowners to re-enter the market, historical data shows that there's a boomerang effect. About half of those people are actually going to come back into the marketplace. They're not going to do it immediately. They're going to do it over about a 16-year period. But we're looking at about 4.4 million owner-occupied foreclosures that have been completed in this country since 2000. A million of those people are already back in the marketplace. So when you're looking at marketing property out there as an investor, make sure that you're doing something to reach out and let the marketplace know that, hey, if you had a foreclosure and it's been 7 years ago, you're in a position to be able to jump right back into home ownership. It's also been reported that these boomerang buyers, on average, four times more likely to go through FHA loans than traditional non-distressed owner-occupied repeat buyers. So this is likely going to be an FHA buyer. They're going in through FHA because they're going to be able to get a low requirement from a down payment, many times as low as 3.5%. They have a credit score of 580. Now look, a 580 credit score, you get 500 points if you spell your name right. So a 580 credit score is not that big a deal, but people that hit at 580, they're going to be able to qualify for FHA. So be on the lookout for these boomerang home buyers because they're going to be a great place for you to be able to move your properties to. Surprisingly, those states that were hardest hit by the foreclosure crisis have had the highest number of boomerang buyers that have returned since 2007. Three of the highest boomerang states were Arizona, Nevada, and Michigan, and they were running about 32% of their homeowners have come back in. And those of you that have followed me and been around for years know that there are few markets that I love more than Vegas now. There was a time that I was not hot on Vegas at all. It has made a wonderful comeback. The economy there keeps stretching away from the gaming industry. And the more that it does that, the more solid and predictable the housing market comes. The key thing you're always going to look at once you step outside the North Texas area is what's the job market like where I'm looking to buy property. If the job market is great, the real estate market's going to be great. If the job market stinks, real estate market's going to stink. It's just that simple. So if you're looking at Arizona, man, Phoenix was just obliterated in the foreclosure crisis. It has just come roaring back, another great market. Now, Michigan got wiped out. I would say stay away from Michigan still. Detroit is still, it's the armpit of the real estate market in America, that's for sure. And this is a G-rated show, so we'll just leave it at armpit, but know that that's not a place that you likely want to look at investing, no matter how cheap the properties are. You think, well, I can rent it out, and I can flip it real low. Got to have people be able to flip it too. And so Michigan right now is still hurting until they get their job and situation squared away. So this is reported 10 percentage points higher than the national boomerang average when you look at Nevada and Arizona. Likewise, California and Florida had real high foreclosure rates. They are also bouncing back incredibly strong. I love the Florida market. I'm not that high on the California market. It's a crazy market to get people qualified for. It's a good market. It's just crazy to get people qualified because the pricing is so high. Now, the Florida market right now is a wonderful market. I love it. I think you ought to take a look at that. We've done some stuff in Florida, and they're going to continue to do some more. Now, this report about boomerang buyers also shows that the cumulative return rate for boomerang buyers really varies across the country, and that people that lost their homes in 2000 returned as buyers stronger than anybody so far. There's about 38% of those people that lost their home in 2000 have already come back into the marketplace. So when you're starting to market your properties, understand you're going to be reaching out for a lot of these folks that are in that boomerang buyer mode. And as you're doing that, you got to have curb appeal on your properties. Well, let's go through a few things. We're going to call this our rehab segment, if you will. We're going to talk about some curb appeal and some things that you want to make sure that you avoid doing when you're, well, marketing your property so you don't shoot yourself in the head, so that you're getting the top dollar that you can. One of the things that I see most often on properties when people are trying to market their homes is an improper paint color. Now, most homes, you know, get wear and tear through the years, so you need to put a fresh coat of paint on them, whether you're just painting the front, whether you're coming in doing the front door, the shutters, whatever you're doing, make sure that you're going for, well, a neutral color. You don't want to jump out there and paint something some wild, crazy color because you love it. You don't want to be a pink or purple or bright yellow. You know, I live in West Fort Worth. I live right down from TCU. There's a lot of houses around us that have TCU purple doors. Well, that's great when it's your home and you're living there. That's not a good selling feature when you're selling that property. So you want to look at soft, neutral colors. Can you paint a door red? Sure, you can. But you want to look at reds, whites, blacks, grays. Now, you want to stay away from the crazy colors because it may turn somebody off. You could sabotage yourself right out of the gate and not have somebody come in and look at a great house because they can't get past what the outside looks like. Something else that's real common when we're working with people around the country is you'll see a car parked in the driveway when the house is an occupied property. Now, they got a two-car garage, they got a three-car garage, but they got a car parked in the driveway. Well, most of the time there's a car parked in the driveway, not because they have too many cars to fit in the garage. It's because they got too much junk in the garage. And so what it gives a perception on them from a prospective buyer standpoint is, well, the house is too small to hold all the stuff. Look, they can't even get their cars in the garage. And I've gone through number three before, and that's nasty neighbors. Homes, like people, are often judged by the company that they keep. So, unfortunately, a home with a less than tidy next door neighbor, or if you've got a house next to you that's vacant, abandoned, whatever, you want to make sure that that house looks decent too. Now, you're not going to go paint that house, but might you take a few hours of your time, a couple hours over a weekend, and go cut the grass? Absolutely. It would be in your best interest to go keep the front yard cut so that that property looks good and it's not detracting from your house. Now, number four on it is the way people a lot of time, and look, I am a diehard sports fan. I have some sports decoration in my yard right now, but if I were going to sell my house, that'd be one of the things I want to make sure I got rid of. You don't want to have sports decor. You don't want to have lawn ornaments. You don't want to have kids' toys scattered around, or even worse, shoved over in one corner of the yard, because homeowners that are looking to buy a new property want to see nice, clean, neat properties. They want to have too much of your personal taste in there. You may be the biggest UT fan that has ever existed, but somebody looking at your house may not be. And if they're not, they may get turned off on something crazy like they don't like your sports team. So you don't want to do that. You want to get rid of all that stuff, because remember that each buyer is unique, just as unique as you and I are. Hey, next thing, gardens, bushes, plants. people that work with me know I love killing gardens, cutting down trees, bushes, hedges. Why? Because it's so easy to get a jungle look, and that's going to hurt you. We just call it being dead on arrival. The garden may look great when it's in season, but now you're selling your house and it's out of season, and you got weeds, you got dead plants. Get rid of all that stuff. Get you some mulch in there. Get something in there that just makes it look neat. That's all you got to do. Now, also, you don't want to be so carried away on how much, vegetation you've got around your property, trees and bushes and plants and flowers, so that a prospective buyer looks at it and goes, oh, my gosh, I'll never be able to keep up with that. That would be a nightmare keeping up with all that stuff. So you may have spent the last 10 years turning your yard into your perfect Garden of Eden paradise. The next person comes along and looks like at it, and I'm one of these people, would look at it and go, oh, my God, what have they done here? Okay, so you want to make sure that you have a property that doesn't look like it's going to be a nightmare to upkeep. And then also, any neglected parts of your exterior is going to hurt your curb appeal. If you've got rusted out places on your carport, rotted shutters, awnings that have gotten tattered and torn up through storms that we've had, if typically what happens is a homeowner looks at that that's living there, and it becomes part of, just their house. They don't see it anymore. But a prospective buyer comes along and goes, oh, my gosh, the last thing I want to do is have to replace all that stuff. So curb appeal is the number one thing outside of location. You always hear location, location, location. That's absolutely true. Outside of that, you got to have some curb appeal. When you jump over to realestatenowradio.com, realestatenowradio.com, you're going to have some links to some of the articles that we've used here. You're also going to have the ability to listen to the show again if you like. We'll let you know when we're going to be doing some of our live events. Love to have you come out and join us. You'll see who our show sponsors are, and you let us know topics that you'd like to come up with that you'd like to have us cover in the coming weeks. Now, let me give you a phone number, 866-663-8688. I know that's a lot of eight, sixes, and threes. 866-663-8688. You'll see that on the website. You can call there. And there's an extension to leave questions for the radio show, ideas that you'd like to have covered over the coming weeks. Make sure you jump over there and leave us information that you'd like to have covered on Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett, and we will get that done. We appreciate you guys listening. When we come back from the break, we're going to introduce you to Tom Solomon. Make sure that you hang around. Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett. Thanks for listening.
E-cigarettes will be regulated nationwide starting on Monday. What does this mean if you try to buy them and for stores who sell them? Find out Monday morning on News and Information in the Morning with Dave and me on 570 KLIF.
And welcome back to Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett right here on News and Information 570 AM KLIF, our new home. Thanks so much for being a part of our, rebirth for Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett right here Saturday afternoon. Make sure that you're here so that you can listen, learn, and earn. Now, one of the things that we talked about through the first half of the show, I told you were going to get to meet a great friend of mine, Mr. Tom Solomon. Tom has come down from Plano down to the American Airlines Center down here at Victory Plaza and joined us here today. Tom, welcome aboard.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
You bet, man. I got to tell you, how long have we been working together? What do you think that
about
is?
About 4.5 years now.
4.5 years. And you're still here. That's great.
I'm having a blast.
Now, one of the things I love about Tom is that he is very detail-oriented. Tom came out, heard me speak some time ago, and decided he was interested in real estate investing. Now, he didn't make a move. How many times do you think you came out and joined us at one of our events before you decided to?
It was about a year to 18 months worth of getting to know you, coming to the sessions, and learning my way through the introduction part of it.
Excellent. And you know, always have great questions. After the event would be over with, he'd send me emails and stuff. Well, what about this? What about that? Talk to some other people that are in the program. So I love people that do their due diligence, and because what that tells me is that when they're doing their real estate business, they're also going to be very diligent when they're doing that, and that's going to come back to put great rewards and profits in your pocket. Now, Tom, tell me a little bit what you were doing before we met.
Well, I was an executive in the restaurant business. North Dallas has a couple of many great restaurant companies based here, and I was with a couple of them, Brinker and TGI Fridays, to name two of them. And Had a great career in the restaurant business for about 25 years.
Wow. So I hear they have really flexible hours. And
well, in the restaurants, it's a lot of long hours. And, hey, in the corporate office, it can be some long hours, too. But it was a lot of fun.
Good. Now, what was it that started your initial appeal into real estate investing?
Well, I guess I always had a little bit of a rebel streak and always wanted to, at some point, have my own business and do something a little bit entrepreneurial. And the more and more I got to see the possibilities in this and listening to your show a few times, kind of got me off the dime to want to come down and explore it some more.
So was initially, was it money that attracted you? Was it time freedom? Which one of those?
I guess it was the entrepreneurial part of it, the freedom, certainly the time and money also. I mean, I would have been happy just to keep my financial situation static, and certainly the possibilities are endless with this. But it was a combination of all of them, especially the freedom and the ability to have my own business and take the reins.
Okay. So freedom and somebody taking the reins. Now you just got back from Spain. What were you doing in Spain?
I took my three stepsons and we went and we ran with the bulls in Pamplona.
That's just crazy. But hey, you know what? You had the freedom to be able to do that. Now, was that freedom brought about because of vacation time, or is that freedom brought about because of real estate?
Well, certainly I had the freedom to be able to take the vacation time, and it takes time to plan a trip like that. And boy, we had just a blast just putting it all together and deciding how we wanted to structure the trip. But then it's 10 days and we had delays getting home. So that added a couple of days to it. And having the freedom to be able to turn it on and turn it off at will is great. And it made it a lot easier.
And I know this, but tell everybody, you cover the cost of all this for all the guys.
Yeah, this was a gift for my stepsons. They're doing great. They're in college and they're doing well. And I gave them a choice to pick a place they wanted to go, and they chose this. And at first, I shook my head. I thought, boy, running with the bulls seemed maybe a little dangerous. But boy, as I got to know it and learn it, look into it, I loved it, and I'm super glad we did it, and we had a blast.
Okay, so to be able to do that sounds like investing may be going okay for you.
Oh, sure, it's going great. It's everything I wanted it to be and more. And it's afforded me the flexibility to do stuff like that and other things. I took 6 months off and worked on my mom's house after she passed away, and we had to get it sold up in Michigan. And I bought a house in Florida to be able to have my nephews and niece go to school and live in a house there that I had bought as an investment. So I did some unconventional things that took away from my time here, but that freedom and that flexibility gives you the time to do that.
Excellent. And let's pick a number. Would you say you've been averaging $100,000 or more a year since you've been doing this?
Sure. And I probably could have been making a lot more, but certainly that much. And the best part about that is my time investment is a lot less than it used to be when I was working in a big company. And sometimes it's a lot when I want it to be, and sometimes it's not when I want to do something else.
You know, that's one thing that attracted me to real estate investing 20 years ago. And almost everybody that I meet that is a real estate investor or wants to become a real estate investor, one of the attractions of it is, yeah, everybody wants to make more money. Let's get that out front. Yeah, that's on the table. Everybody wants that. But what starts to happen as you start increasing your income is you realize that what's more important to me is the time freedom. When I don't have to be somewhere 40 plus hours a week and I can go do my business, then my business is going to pay me a lot better, typically, than most jobs that you're going to have out there. Now, your job may be the exception, but what we typically find in the marketplace is that's not the truth, is that once you got your business up and running and sustainable, and that's one of the things you want to learn, is to be able to do your business in a sustainable manner, and you're doing that, then you go, wow, you know, I've got some freedom here. So let's take let's walk through a recent deal. Pick one out that you've done in the last few months and let's walk through it.
Sure. This is, you know, in Plano. I live in the Plano area, and I kind of decided I wanted to try to do most of these as close to my home as possible, just so I can be there a little quicker and it's a little less of a commute, and I know that market well, and there's ups and downs to that. It's a really, really tight market right now, busy market. Lots of sales, not a lot of houses up for sale. So it's a tough market to be in, but I've been, my buying range has been about $100,000 to $150,000 on the buy side, and I try to sell that for about between $200,000 and $250,000, and that's where I've been for the first 3 years or so. And this one, this last one, was bought it for a little bit more, it was $145,000 or so, and but it came with a rehab budget that was a lot. I knew it needed a lot of work. There was more than one of the contractors that I had look at it for me in advance who said, walk away, don't do this one.
Now, what is a lot for everybody listening? What's a lot in the rehab budget?
Well, the budget that I put together at the beginning was $55,000. It turned out to be about $59,000.
All right. So $60,000 on a house that you paid $140,000 and change for.
Right.
And a lot of people would freak out at that. Now, if you know what you're doing and you know that that's a good solid number and you're going to be able to recoup that number plus your profit on the retail side, does that change your confidence level?
Absolutely. In fact, I mean, a lot of it did change in this deal. The price that I initially had set for my after rehab value that I could sell it for was around $265,000. And I wound up selling it for a lot more than that because the market was hot. The rehab really went well when it was all said and done. But I had done a lot of the work based on a $265,000 budget.
Excellent. So what you look at when you're doing a rehab property is, and we're going to talk about some things that you want to do and you don't want to do when you're rehabbing properties later in the show. Yeah, if we have time this week, if not, we'll cover it next week. But make sure that what you're doing is going to give you a good return. Now, a lot of people go hog wild crazy. They way overspend. And it sounds like with $60,000, that could have been the case, but it is all based on your market. And, you know, Plano is one of the hottest markets in Texas, period, one of the hottest markets in the Southwest. So great job on there. In doing that deal, what are some of the values that you saw in our relationship while you were doing that deal?
Pretty much everything, Bill. I mean, I liken this similar to the restaurant business in some ways in that there are people that have a great recipe or the family recipe for something and they think they can open their own restaurant. And many of them do, and hey, sometimes it works for them and sometimes it doesn't. But it's a tough thing to do because there's so many aspects to owning and running a business, especially a business that caters to customers than just having great recipes. Well, real estate, it's the same thing. You might have a sense for some part of the business, either the rehab part or the decor part or whatever, but there's so many business aspects to it that make it tricky, difficult, challenging, unexpected, that when you get into it, you appreciate the discipline. I mean, there's so many potential houses that I don't make an offer on that I might have before because I like it. I like the look of it or I like something about it. And you really have to take a business approach. And I think if nothing else, many other things that the program has helped me establish a discipline around, hey, this is a business decision and you have to have an approach that with some math and a formula that fits into. And if it doesn't fit into that, you have to have the discipline to not do it. And that's helped me immensely, buy side, sell side, the rehab part of it, everything.
Excellent. So this particular property you're talking about, let's ballpark what it take timeline from the time you closed on it, from the purchase and the time you closed on it for sale.
Well, it was extraordinarily long. Usually it doesn't take this long, but this one was about 8 months.
Okay, so you closed it, and we'll just say January 1st because it'll make the math a little easier here. So you closed it January 1st. You rehabbed it, you put it on the market, you sold it, and you sold it on I guess that would be September 1st.
Sure.
So 8 months in that, and ballpark, what was the spread for you?
After all the other expenses, the spread for me was terrific. It turned out to be about $70,000.
Okay. So here's what I want you folks hearing as you heard Tom say, hey, you know, we did this flip, made $70,000 on it. And that's $70,000 after real estate commissions, property taxes, and insurance. So that covered everything. So $70,000 in your pocket. How many deals do you as a listener have to do to have a $70,000 profit impact your life big time? Now, so you know there's money there. Now, let's hear the other side of this because I know a lot of you right now think, well, of course, Bill, you know, a $70,000 pop in my income is going to have a big, big impact. But how much time did Tom really spend on that? So, Tom, how much time did you really spend that you spent on it?
Well, I had some distractions while I was doing it. I probably worked about half time on it, so maybe 20 hours a week for much of that time. But while I was doing that, I had another project that I was working on. I finished up one and started another. and I had my mom's house that I was working on in Michigan. So I had a lot of things happening at one time. And so I'd say altogether, you know, I averaged about 20 hours a week for those eight months.
Okay. So think about that. If you take that to a 40-hour week, that's $150,000 or $140,000 a year job. And in 8 months, it really makes it about a $200,000 job or pretty close to it. That's not a bad income in today's world.
No, and I chose to do that. I probably could have put less time into it and had more contractor work. One of the nice things about having my sons at the age that they're at is I have them help me, and they work part-time for me occasionally. And it's nice to be able to work with them. And while I could go hire contractors to do some of the things at this point, I've enjoyed doing it with my boys, and we do a lot of things together. And it's a nice way to do it, but I don't have to put all that time in myself. I could be hiring some of this stuff out.
Well, and not only are you getting to spend extra time with them, but you're also teaching them a business. And from as a parent, that's important for all of us. It's a legacy, what we're handing down to our children. And entrepreneurship is what built this country. It's what will continue to make this country great. And hey, it's a great life to be your own boss. My dad taught me that it's one of the very first things I can remember. You always want to be working for yourself. You want to have your own business. And I had all kind of businesses, you know, the mowing yards, which I absolutely hate, but I had a yard mowing service when I was, you know, 8, 9 years old, and every summer I'd go out and cut grass. But what that does is it teaches children the value of standing on their own 2 feet, being solid in what they do. And Tom, I congratulate you on that. Is this an average deal for you? Is it a little higher than average? What'd you say is an average kind of deal?
Well, it has been about an average deal. Plano has changed so much even since this deal happened, because now there's not a foreclosure anywhere near Plano that I've found for much less than $200,000. So the formula's really changed quite a bit, and I'm adapting to it. But it's still hard to get up there and go buy a foreclosure for $50,000 more than I would have paid for it 2 or 3 years ago. But that's the reality right now of that market.
But you'd rather pay the extra $50 and get the deal than let it go through your hands.
Absolutely. In fact, you still do the math the same way. And when you figure out what you can sell it for, there's still properties out there.
Excellent. And ballpark, how many deals do you average a year?
I was trying to do about 2 or 3 a year. And again, it's different for me because I'm doing higher end stuff. So I like to take my time with a bigger property, bigger project, 2 or 3 times a year, but certainly I could do, more frequent, properties and just do, a little less dollars in each one. I've kind of chosen to do the higher end stuff in Plano.
Excellent. So here's what I want you to hear out there is that Tom's doing 2 or 3 deals a year. There's a lot of times, especially new people coming into the business, they get this idea that I'm not going to make any money. I'm not going to be successful if I'm not doing 20, 30 houses a year. And that's just not the truth. If you can go out and in your first year do a couple of deals, you're going to be shocked at the money that comes into your pocket. You're going to be very happy about that. And you're going to see that this is something that you can do. You can do it over and over. Now, the market changes. You've heard Tom say that. It's going to change more as we go forward. It's going to change in an opposite manner. 3, 4, 5 years down the road, we're going to see foreclosures come back into the marketplace. That's just the nature of the cycle of business that real estate is. And if you know how to adjust to it, then you're going to be able to make a profit, whether it is a great market or whether it is a market that stunk like it did when we were in the middle of foreclosure crisis. So when we get back from this break, I'm going to talk to Tom a little bit more, and then we're going to get into some of the things that you want to do to make sure that your property is staged properly. Make sure you hang around for more Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett. I want to take a second to introduce you to the great folks over at the American Fallen Soldiers Project. Bill and Lisa Taylor, they've been friends of mine for years, and two of the greatest people that you're ever going to want to meet. And the American Fallen Soldiers Project has just opened their national gallery at 4275 Kelway Circle in Addison. So right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the National Gallery for the American Fallen Soldiers Project. Now, the project was formed in 2007 to help provide comfort and healing for grieving families of fallen military soldiers. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization that makes available at no cost to any family whatsoever an original portrait of their fallen loved one, and they really strive to fully capture the appearance and the personality of that soldier that we have lost in action. The mission of the American Fallen Soldiers Project is to honor, respect, and forever memorialize the American military servicemen and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. To be able to comfort their mourning families and inspire all of us as Americans to know and recognize the price paid for our freedom. With a desire to make a profound and lasting impact through the project to these families, Bill and Lisa have worked diligently to restore a sense of life and present to the fallen heroes on canvas in hopes to provide peace to their families and for you and I to have the heart of the American fallen soldier. The project is to serve, comfort, and encourage America's Gold Star families, the families that have had the ultimate sacrifice for our country. To learn more about the American Fallen Soldiers Project, how you can be a part of that healing process, go to AmericanFallenSoldiersProject.com or stop by the National Gallery at 4275 Kelway Circle in Addison.
And then he was gone some beach somewhere.
And welcome back to Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett. Saturday afternoon right here on 570 AM. KLIF News and Information. This is the program you want to be listening to about real estate investing because you can listen, learn, and earn right here on Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett. And hey, we've been talking to Tom Solomon out of Plano. Tom has been a consulting client of mine for about 4.5 years now and has done a great job with his personal investing business. And Tommy, I just wanted to say thanks for taking time out of your real estate investing business to stop by the Victory Plaza here and share some insights of what's been happening with your real estate investing. And hey, tell us about the bulls. And I want to make sure that everybody knows Tom was not on crutches. He didn't have any broken bones or bandages. he made the running of the bulls survive that. So yeah, there you go. If you can do real estate, you can do the running with the bulls.
I guess so. And if, boy, if that's the case, then that's good for you. I love talking about this because it's a great, it's been a great transition for me and I've really enjoyed it, but it's also a great business. And I encourage anybody that has the interest to do that due diligence, look into it, get with somebody like Bill on this program, because there's so many things to learn and you really have to ask a lot of questions. I know I must have burned the phone lines a lot with Bill and Chris and the team because I learned so much in that first year and 2 years, and I'm still learning. But it takes a lot of things to get together to get you together to be on your own. And so don't try to do it yourself. It's okay. There's lots of resources out there. Take advantage of them and use them, and you'll have a blast.
Thanks so much for coming by, Tommy. Hey, we'll have you back out and we'll do some updates on what's going on with your investing and your career. Thanks again for coming out to see us right here on Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett. Now, you know, what Tom does, what I do, what a ton of our consulting clients do around the nation is flip property, which means you got to rehab them. And you got to go in and do the right rehab and you got to spend your money wisely. Well, there's a report that the Texas Real Estate Association has come out with, and they're part of the National Association of Realtors. The Texas Association of Realtors puts out this report. It's called the Texas Remodel Valuation Report. Now, it came out back in April, and one of the things that it does is it compares the different types of, rehabs, remodels, features that you can add to a property, where you're going to get the most money from, and the things that you're not going to get the most money out of. And so things that you should be doing and things that you shouldn't be doing. And some of this may surprise you, but in the most recent remodeling valuation report, the number one return on investment. So this means if you spent $10,000 to do something on your house, if I'm getting back $12,000, that's a nice return on the investment if I'm selling that property. So the number one thing was adding fiberglass attic insulation to the property. It's a popular option for increasing the home energy efficiency, but it ranks as the number one among the most profitable projects that you can do to your property to increase the value of the property if you're going to be sell it. Fiberglass attic insulation recouped a whopping 163.4% of the total cost of it. That means that's a good thing for you to be doing to a property when you're out there rehabbing. And hey, if you've just got your personal property that you're going to sell, that's something that you're going to want to do, is make sure that you've got great insulation in it and can show people, hey, people love to have an energy efficient home. We're right in the middle of summertime now. If you've got lots of great insulation up in that attic, when they come to look at your home, it's going to be nice and cool. If it's a vacant property and an investor property, we usually keep our properties around 80, 82 degrees on the thermostat. And we do keep it on so that it doesn't get overwhelmingly hot. Well, if you've got great insulation in there, that's going to feel very comfortable when it's 100 plus degrees outside. Now, the next thing that is getting a great return on the cost of the improvement is manufactured stone veneers. It's a lower cost alternative for house siding, for doing fireplaces, or other places around a property that you might want to use stone. These stone veneers ranked among the top. It's the second most profitable in markets, especially in North Texas. Manufactured stone veneer projects recouped on an average 157.9% of the cost of doing the project. So once again, this is a great way to increase the value of the property and not have to worry about, is this money going down a hole? No, it's money you're going to get back and money that you're going to have a great return on. Also, garage door replacement. Garage door replacement, as simple as that may sound, is a very, very key component. One of the easiest ways to quickly boost a home's curb appeal, and it's ranked as number three in those, and that's just putting in a new garage door. Now, if you have the ability to bump up a little bit in cost, they make these doors, they call them carriage doors. They look like they're made out of wood. Some of them have a wood veneer on them, and it changes the outside appearance of your property dramatically. A lot of times you can do these for anywhere from about $1,200 to $1,600, $1,700 installed. Now, this is door only, but man, they can just really look incredible. Number four on where you're going to get the most value in adding to your property is steel entry door replacements. Frequently, it is a popular thing in the Texas market to go in, and we do this in all of our properties, put a new, I refer to them as security doors, doors to the front, doors out the back, doors from the kitchen into the garage area, and we replace those with steel doors, and it's a really profitable thing to do. It recoups typically about 163% of the total project cost, and when you're selling a property, you know, you want to make sure if there's a lady involved in living in this house, whether she's buying the house for herself, whether it's a couple or a family and there's a lady involved, this is a great feature to be able to say, hey, you know what? This is a secure property. You've got a metal security door on the front door. You got one on the back door. You got one going into the garage. And we suggest that you put deadbolts on all of those as well so that the family, if it's a couple, if it's a single person, they can feel safe and secure when they're in their home. Now, let's get to the other side of this, which is going to surprise a lot of you, some things that are not returning a great value to the property. Now, some of these you need to do anyway, but they're not coming back as a great return on investment. Bathroom additions, all sizes ranked as some of the most least profitable in the North Texas area. Bathroom remodels or additions typically recouped as little as 25 to 28% of the total project cost. Now, you got to take that with a little bit of a grain of salt because you know that that is a key feature. The number one property feature that you're going to sell in your house is going to be the kitchen. But the number two is going to be the master bathroom and then the rest of your bedrooms and your secondary bathrooms. But that's something that you want to take a look at, making sure that you get them up to date without spending very much because you're not going to add a lot of price value there. Deck additions are probably one of the worst things that you can do to a property as far as you trying to get money back for what you're spending. May it make your property more sellable, just like redoing a bathroom or adding a bathroom. Absolutely, it can make your property more sellable. It's just not likely that it's going to sell for more money. Whether it's constructed out of composite, wood, deck additions were ranked as the fourth most least profitable of all of the additions you can do to a property. They typically run about 28% recouped of it. And one of the last things is a master suite addition. Consistently ranks as one of the least profitable home remodeling projects you can do. And again, when you look at the North Texas area, master suite additions can recoup as little as 24% of the total project cost. That's some of the great information that we get out of the Texas Association of Realtors. We thank them for that. That's the 2016 Remodel Valuation Report. When you're going through all of that, one of the things that you're going to find is that you have to declutter your property. It's a mess when you're trying to stage your house, whether it's an investment property that you're selling. Look, you don't want to leave it empty. A stark, empty property sells slower than a property that has some staging in it. You don't have to go in and have every room fully decked out. Just some stuff to take the edge off of the property so it doesn't look austere and cold, so it looks warm and inviting. So here's some things that if you're living in the house that you want to make sure that happens when you're trying to sell the property. And one is you got to clean out, well, what we refer to as non-physical clutter. Now, there's a lot of professional organizers out there, and they say there's a connection with people between whether they are physically and mentally cluttered. So usually if you walk into a home and there's just stuff everywhere, you got bookshelves that are overloaded, every little piece of wall space is covered up, well, that's a very cluttered mind as well. But when a prospective buyer comes into that house, they get caught up in that stuff and not get caught up in what may be a beautiful home because they can't see it. So you want to declutter that. You can start decluttering and really build a schedule. If this is one of, if I've hit a dog with this rock, as my wife likes to say, that rock hit a dog. If I've hit a dog with that statement, then know that one of the things you can do is you can start decluttering on a schedule. So to minimize the aggravation or anxiety you're going to go through when you start to declutter, just start setting aside some time. Hey, I'm going to spend 2 hours on a Saturday morning for the next 4 weeks, and in doing that, be able to get out of this clutter here and see if we can make things go a little bit better here in the sale of this property. Number two, you got to identify problem areas and empty out the space so that you know that it's nice and clean when people come to look at it. Professional organizers say that closets and kitchens are the common areas that need to be decluttered in a household. If your closet looks like it got hit by a tornado, prospective buyers are not going to be interested in that. Get it cleaned out and get it organized. It doesn't have to be anal retentive. It just has to be nice and organized. Take your time to do this so that you have less stress in going through this and can do a great job with it. And make sure that you've got your property decluttered and looking good. You got the outside looking good. We talked about some things there. You got the inside looking good. You got it decluttered. You've got your yard in a position where it doesn't look like it's going to take every hour of every waking day to keep it up. It's going to be nice and easily kept up and looks very attractive to the home. These are the kind of things that we're going to teach you every single week right here on Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett. And when you come out to our live events, those are the kind of things that we're going to cover in a lot more detail. So make sure that you jump over to the website, realestatenowradio.com, realestatenowradio.com. And when you do that, you're going to see a lot of great information. You're going to be able to sign up for some free newsletters and free gifts. And make sure that you are right here with us next Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock for Real Estate Now with Bill Barnett right here on 570 AM KLIF. News and information. Thanks for listening, everybody, and it's for His glory.
The preceding program was furnished by the Now Real Estate Network, LLC, and is responsible for its content.
Hi, folks. Jeff Lindegren with Great Western Home Loans. Home values have gone up, way up. In fact, your house is worth 30% more than it was 3 years ago. Great Western can refinance you out of that PMI you have on your mortgage or lower your interest rate. Call us today at 972-407-9900 or go to gwloans.com.
Great Western Home Loans, 5408 West Plano Parkway, Plano, Texas, 75093, NMLS number 82156.
Great Western Home Loans, 972-407-9900.
570 AM, KLIF.
E-cigarettes will be regulated nationwide starting on Monday. What does this mean if you tried to buy them and for stores who sell them? Find out Monday morning on News and Information in the Morning with Dave and me on 570 KLIF.
News and Information 570 AM.
96.3 FM HD2. KLIF Dallas. KSES FM HD2 Fort Worth. KLIF.com.
A Cumulus station.